إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek Allah's forgiveness and we ask Allah's assistance and we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides to Islam, no one can lead astray. And whomever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. May Allah send His peace and His blessings upon him, his companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers, those of you who wish to attend the class, then it is the sunnah to actually be close to each other and to be close to the speaker. That's how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be with his companions, so the shaitan will not have any means to come in between us and cause our hearts to differ. Jazakum Allah khairan. Furthermore, I will wait for the brothers to conclude their sunan so I can make a particular comment regarding what is taking place in the masjid right now, because I don't want to disturb them in their salah while speaking about this very subject matter. Of course, everybody remembers, those who took notes or those who have notes in their brain, if they're able to maintain them for this duration of time, what we discussed last week. Does anyone remember some of the things we discussed? And it's always sensitive. Or shall I just ask? Can anyone remember? We said that the Muslims today, we are going through problems, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that had we adhered to Islam, had we adhered to the teachings of Islam, then blessings would have been descended upon us from the heavens and from the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given us succession on earth, and He would have given us the authority to practice our religion, and He would replace our fear with security, providing that we worship Him alone and associate no partners with Him. The verse in Surah Al-A'raf, verses 96 to 99, are verses that we must really understand in the context of today's current situation of the Muslims. The fact that it has been promised in the Quran that Allah will give succession on earth, stability, power, dominance, victory to those who adhere to the religion. And the final religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the final revelation is the Quran, with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the final messenger. So then adherence to Islam is what is expected of me and you. Now we may be doing some effort that we think is good, but Allah knows that we have many shortcomings. And let us compare those who have some minor shortcomings to those who are totally negligent about Islam. Worldwide, the Muslim Ummah today, how many people don't even observe Salah? And if they do, you know, we said that it's not being performed properly. How many Muslims are withholding on Zakah? How many Muslims don't even bother to fast in Ramadan? How many Muslims have plenty of money to come do Hajj, but they don't bother and come do Hajj? How many Muslims and how many Muslims? And so when our situation is like that, then this is what we are getting in return. Allah says, جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا, an equal recompense. You know, كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ, the way you treat, you'll be treated. So inshallah, I remind myself and you about the objective of these classes is to revive the Ummah. Yes, with these humble classes, this minor book, this minor effort, on my behalf and on your behalf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may revive this Ummah. We would be the seed, at least we'll be planting the seed, we may see the tree grow. It may be our children, it may be our grandchildren, it may be our grand-grandchildren, only Allah knows. But the idea is that we are planting something, and perhaps we will get the reward for that after we pass away, and continue to gain reward until the Day of Judgment. You know, when you die, everything is gone except from three sources. Among them is knowledge that the people benefit from. So you learn something, you teach it to your family members, you give da'wah to the non-Muslims, all this will be on your book of accounts, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. A quick comment regarding what happened. There are abundance, ample narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam highly recommending that the sunan, the voluntary prayers, are to be performed at home. If you really want to pray the sunnah according to the sunnah, then the sunnah is to pray the sunnah at home, which is almost a neglected sunnah today. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was not narrated that he used to pray in the masjid. Rather, he said, do not turn your homes into graves. He says, pray at home. Verily Allah will bring about from this prayer of yours many blessings. He encouraged often in many different narrations the establishing of the sunnah and the voluntary prayers at home. Had we implemented that, you know, first, the sunnah that you pray in the masjid here is not as rewarding as the one you pray at home, unlike the obligation. Furthermore, there's always distraction in the masjid. When you get up to pray the sunnah, a person may walk in front of you, a child may scream, you know, there's still a lot of noise, so you're unable to focus. In the same manner, you were able to focus in the jama'ah because usually there's less noise. So had you prayed at home, then you would have the peace. Now sometimes, I know this is not for everyone, sometimes your children don't know such thing as peace. So it may be better for you to pray at the masjid, because if you go home, forget about the salah. Now we understand that this is an exception to the rule. Some brothers may fall asleep if they go home. So they say, let me get the sunnah out, so at least I will pray it rather than going home and the shaitan keep playing with you until you don't pray the sunnah at all. This also happens. But the idea is that we should try to pray the sunnah at home, if we're able to do so, to gain more reward with the sunnah. And that way we won't have to wait 10 minutes to begin the dars after the salah, because I don't, you know, you don't want to speak while people are still praying. Too many people are praying, it's disturbing. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that easy for us. Tayyib. So today inshallah, we promised last week that we'll be dealing with the belief in Allah. And I said that the belief in Allah comprises four matters. Four different matters comprise our belief in Allah. We did not discuss them, but would anyone like to give a guess? Anyone would like to guess what these four things are? Our belief in Allah. When you say, I believe in Allah, if someone, an atheist, let's say someone who doesn't believe in God, came and asked you, what does it mean when you say you believe in Allah? What does that mean? How would you explain that to him? Huh? Shahada. Tayyib. You say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. So you say, who's Allah? What is Allah? So what do you say?
Who created all of us and also the universe.
Beautiful. That's one aspect. That's one of the four matters. The fact that Allah is the creator. He's the one who put this universe, created this universe, and continues to govern it. It's still functioning. That's one aspect. But before that, you have to prove the existence of Allah. For an atheist, someone who doesn't believe, you must prove to him that there's a God, that there must be a creator, because they don't even believe that. And you may be shocked. I've dealt with some local people. His name is Muhammad, but he's an atheist. And this is the this scares me, and we should be scared that none of us can guarantee his iman. Yani imagine a person named Muhammad. I had to sit there and discuss with him through a number of emails back and forth, trying to prove to this person that there's Allah exists. And he's giving me all these philosophical ideologies that about this, you know, things that not even worth mentioning. And his name is Muhammad. But he doesn't believe anymore. What does that tell us? That What the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used to do when he used to say, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Oh Allah, the one who turns your heart over, keep my heart firm on your religion. If the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was asking Allah to keep him on Islam, then what about me and you? Because you see examples of people who were Muslims at one point, and now they're no longer Muslims. So that means that we should be striving to adhere to Islam. Be careful of sinning, disobedience. Perhaps Allah will turn our hearts around and we will wind up becoming misguided. And none of us can afford that. I mean, you can afford to be the biggest sinner in Islam and go to Jahannam. But at least one day, you know you'll be taken out because of your tawheed. You may do a lot of haram, which we don't want to do. But assuming you fail, but you have your tawheed sound, your Islam, one day Allah will take you out of the fire and permit you to Jannah. And as if nothing happened. But the problem is when you go away with al-Islam, then Jahannam never ends. It will never end. Eternal punishment. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Abiding therein eternally. So we should hold on to our Islam seriously. And the more obedience you do, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you for more. وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدًى. And Allah increases those who have been guided with more guidance. The more you do acts of worship, the more you worship Allah, the more guidance will be given to you. The more lazy you are, the less guidance you'll be receiving. You may reach a point where you don't get any guidance anymore. So we don't want to be in this particular situation. Not to make this longer, there are four things that comprise, four matters that comprise our belief in Allah. First, the existence of Allah. And let's see what the Shaykh says. الإيمان بالله يتضمن أربعة أمور. الأول الإيمان بوجود الله تعالى. First, believe in the existence of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وقد دل على وجوده تعالى الفطرة والعقل والشرع والحس. The evidence for the existence of Allah are established by four things. Four things. Again, another four. We're dividing two fours now. First, the belief in Allah comprises of four matters. The first one being that Allah exists. The belief in the existence of Allah is also established through four evidences. The first is fitrah. We said fitrah is what? Natural disposition. Remember this one. Fitrah, natural disposition. What does that mean? The way you were born. Huh? The default system. When you buy a PC, the CPU, there must be some things that comprise the original computer. Then you add a keyboard, you may add hardware or software. But without the essence, you cannot say I have a PC. You must have something. You know better if you don't know the details of what's in there, a fan and things of the sort. Allahu a'lam, I'm not an IT, you know, whatever. Anyways, you must have a default name. And then things are added or deleted. Similarly, by nature, human innate, we have a fitrah that we were born with. From the moment we were born, this is one way to establish the existence of Allah. Natural disposition. Second one is al-aql, intellect, reasoning, using your brain. Again, we don't have anything as blind faith. If you go to Christianity, if you go to any other religion, they will ask you to close your eyes, shut off your brain, seal your heart, and then believe. You must believe. You tell a Christian, explain to me the Trinity. Explain to me how 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Because that's what he would say. And he's serious. 1, to him the Father is a God, the Son, which is Jesus, peace be upon him, is a God, and the Holy Ghost, which is Jibreel, to us, but to them is maybe another entity, is a God. But he will tell you, but they are not three gods, they are one God. You tell him how? Remember your math teacher? If your math teacher put on the board 1 plus 1 plus 1, do you dare to get on the board and write 1 equal 1? He will kick you right out of the class. He will say, listen man, then what will you do? You try to become philosophical. You say, hold on Mr. Sir, let me tell you Ustad. See, one is made out of chalk. And the other one you drew is also made out of chalk. And the third one is chalk, so three chalks with one is equal to one chalk. You may try to rationalize. What would he tell you? He said, listen, if you want philosophy class, it's across the street. This is not philosophy, this is basic math. Reason. 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3, case closed. But the Christians, their whole life is based on that. So when sometimes you reach with them a point, that they cannot no longer explain, they tell you, I don't understand, I just believe. I don't have to, it's a mystery. He will tell you, my belief system is mysterious. It's a dogma. It's a puzzle. I don't know how to explain it. But I believe. Alhamdulillah, we don't have that in Islam. Allah gave us the brain, so you could use your brain to lead you to faith. But don't overdo it. Some people think they're so intellectual that they wind up disregarding the Sharia because of their brain. So we don't want to overdo it. We use the brain, yes, but once the hadith comes to you, once the ayah comes to you, once the teachings come from Islam, then your brain is going to be put aside. If you understand it, barakallah feek. If you don't understand it, don't reject the deen because your mind doesn't understand. So this is the thing we need to understand. Thirdly, al-shara', the law. Al-shara', sharia, the law, the legislation, the do's and the don'ts. That's really what it is. Do this, don't do that. Don't use riba. Work, business, tijara, halal. Establish the salah. Don't steal, don't lie, things of this sort. Do's and don'ts. And lastly, al-his, physical sense. Things that you see with your eyes, things that you feel, things that you smell, and things of the sort. So we can actually establish the existence of Allah through these four evidences. We'll repeat them again. Did anyone remember them already? The first one is fitra, natural disposition. Second one is al-aql, intellect, aql, mind. Third one is sharia, law. Fourth one, his, physical sense. The physical senses that we have. It doesn't mean that you will see Allah. Wait, he's going to explain what it means, just in case you thought I meant something else. Let's deal with the first one, fitra. Breaking it down. أما دلالة الفطرة على وجوده فإن كل مخلوق قد فطر على الإيمان بخالقه من غير سبق تفكير أو تعليم. He said the evidence for the natural disposition is that every creation has been created upon the belief in the Creator without prior thinking or education. You don't need to think about it, you don't need to go to a school for you to be taught by nature that there's a Creator to the heavens and the earth. This is in by default. ولا ينصرف عن مقتضى هذه الفطرة إلا من طرى على قلبه ما يصرفه عنها لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من مولود إلا يولد على الفطرة فأبواه يهودانه أو ينصرانه أو يمجسانه رواه البخاري. He said, and no one will deviate from this natural disposition except he whose heart has had something to avert his heart, some incident, some environment averts his heart away from this natural disposition. It is just as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there isn't a child except that he's born upon the fitrah of la ilaha illallah. Then it is his parents who make him a Jew or a Christian or a fire worshipper or any other religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, any ism in the world. The environment is what may affect this person. But some people misunderstand. They say, tayyib, let's say a person was born into a Christian family, or a Hindu family. Born into a Hindu family, born and raised. So how is this person going to be blamed for not being a Muslim? Although his environment was strictly Hinduism. We say, once he reaches the age of understanding, then he is held accountable for searching for the truth. And Allah put in his fitrah that worshipping a cow is unacceptable. And worshipping a monkey is unacceptable. And worshipping an idol is unacceptable. By nature, it doesn't require a genius to figure this out. The problem is that the people like it. It's deviance, they dwell in it, they may be gaining some worldly matter, so they may not even bother searching for the truth. So he will be held accountable for not fulfilling the objective of life. What is the objective of life? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I did not create the jinn and ins except to worship. And you have a whole life, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, to figure out this very simple, basic matter. The people will go to school to make a living, to earn a degree, but they will not bother to search for the natural evidences to confirm their belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although the environment affects, it is not absolute. Once the person reaches the age of discretion and understanding, puberty that is, then he is responsible for searching for the truth. Even you as a Muslim, do you think it's enough for you to be born into a Muslim family without you willing to be to submit to Allah? No. You can have your dad a big shaykh and your mother a memorizer of the Quran, and you may not even establish the salah. So it is not efficient. Faith is not inherited, even in Islam. Alhamdulillah, if you're born in the Muslim family, it's a blessing from Allah. Things have been made easy for you. You're already in the right environment, but you still need to exert your own personal effort within Islam. You have to accept Islam at one point in your life. So this is the default state. So then it is the parents which affect the child. Otherwise, if you believe the statement of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and you should, he said, every child, every newborn is born upon the fitrah of La ilaha illallah. And this is the statement of the most truthful of men, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we don't even have to discuss anything beyond that. Anyone who brings his own intellect against the hadith, we will put him aside along with his intellect. Say, hey, but there's no but. If the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam said this, meaning it is from Allah. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak of his own desire. It is only revelation being revealed to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, pertaining to the affairs of the deen. And this is from the affairs of the deen, not the dunya. So this is the first aspect. The second, وَأَمَّا دَلَالَةُ الْعَقْلِ intellect عَلَى وُجُودِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَلِأَنَّ هَذِهِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ سَابِقُهَا وَلَاحِقُهَا لَا بُدَّ لَهَا مِنْ خَالِقٍ أَوْجَدَهَا إِذْ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ تُوجِدُ نَفْسَهَا بِنَفْسِهَا وَلَا يُمْكِنُ أَنْ تُوجِدُ صُدْفَةً أَوْ تُوجَدُ صُدْفَةً. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, as for the intellect, this creation that we see, the ones that have passed and the ones that will come after, must have a creator that brought it into existence, as it is impossible for that thing to come to bring itself into existence. It is impossible to bring itself into existence, and it is impossible to be found by means of coincidence, as the atheists claim. They believe that it was a combination of some atoms with energy, with gravity, that came together with some molecules, and they continued to develop, and move around until they became this and this, and then everything that you see around you was because of this big bang. And boom, everything you see now, in this functioning, in this order that you see, came from by coincidence. You must be crazy to say that. You must be totally on vacation. Ijaza. Brain, rah ijaza, never come back. One exit, khuruj, never came back. How could you say this? Some of the dua said, this is similar to the following. You go to a bookstore, and I know as now we shouldn't be given these examples, but ma'alik, you put a bomb, we're not terrorists, but we're just hypothetically speaking. You put a bomb in the bookstore. Upon the explosion, everything is destroyed, except somehow you find a Webster's dictionary that was compiled because of the explosion in alphabetical order, from A to Z, with the name of the author and the whole thing. Is this possible? That the explosion of a library or a bookstore would result in a dictionary coming together? It's impossible. By all means, if something that simple is impossible, then you're going to tell me this whole universe is like that? Once some atheists came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and he said, "Ya Imam, prove to us that there's a God. Prove to us that Allah exists." He told them, "Go to me and come back some other time. Give me some time." He's using his intellect, rahimahullah. So they went, came back to him. He said, "You know what I'm thinking about?" He said, "What are you thinking about?" He said, "I'm thinking about a ship that was sailing in the ocean. All of a sudden, it stopped at the shore. And then merchandise started unloading by itself. And there's absolutely no workers. No captain, no one on the actual boat, no labor workers unloading. They said, you must be crazy. How is the ship going to come by itself, park at the shore, merchandise unload, and no one is doing the job? He said, this is puzzling. And you're going to tell me that everything is here around you, from this universe, is possible that it came to existence without anyone doing it? If you don't accept the ship, then how do you accept everything else besides that? So this is common sense. This is aql, subhanAllah. No one denies that except someone who's abnormal. That's why they say, the atheist is abnormal. When you treat him, when you deal with an atheist, you're dealing with a sick person. Sick in his brain. Otherwise, even the kuffar, who don't believe in Islam, they believe that there's a creator. At least, whatever they call him, whatever they consider him, whatever incarnation they claim or attribute to him, at least they believe in the power that brought things into existence. Only a crazy person does not believe in that. Anywho, so it cannot come by coincidence. لا يمكن أن توجد نفسها بنفسها لأن الشيء لا يخلق نفسه. He said first, it cannot bring itself into existence because something that you cannot bring yourself into existence. You must exist to bring yourself into existence. If you didn't exist, how will you bring yourself into existence? You see what I'm saying? I know it may sound confusing, but try to analyze it. وَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَن تُوْزَدُ نَعْمْ لِأَنَّهُ قَبْلَ وُجُودِهِ مَعْدُومٌ فَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ خَالِقًا. Because before you brought yourself into existence, you were not existing. So how would you be a creator? So that doesn't make any sense. وَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَن تُوْزَدُ صُدْفًا. It cannot be by coincidence. لِأَنَّ كُلَّ حَادِثٍ لَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ مُحْدِثٍ. Every effect must have a cause. Every event must have a cause behind it. وَلِأَنَّ وُجُودَهَا عَلَى هَذَا النِّظَامِ الْبَدِيعِ وَالتَّنَاسُقِ الْمُتَآلِفِ وَالْإِرْتِبَاطِ الْمُلْتَحِمِ بَيْنَ الْأَسْبَابِ وَمُسَبِّبَاتِهَا. The Shaykh said, and because finding this existence in this perfect order and this collaborate harmony and everything being in total harmony, the things, the asbab wal-musabbibat, يعني the cause and effect, the reasons and the means, everything is in total harmony. وَبَيْنَ الْكَائِنَاتِ بَعْضَهَا مَعْ بَعْضٍ يَمْنَعُ مَنْعًا بَادًا أَنْ يَكُونَ وُجُودُهَا صُدْفًا. How everything is in harmony, even the creation within themselves. And just give you a simple example. A husband and his wife. A man and a woman. If you look at the creation of a man and a woman, you will find that in every aspect, there's perfect harmony between them. Physically, I don't have to go into details. Physically, that's obvious. Mentally, when it comes to treating and raising the children, the woman is more emotional, more affectionate, more merciful. The man is less patient. After 2 minutes with the kids, hey, take these kids away from here. As if they're not his kids anymore. Although she's with them for years. The woman every day dealing with the children. A man comes into the business for a few minutes and he can no longer handle his own children. He may even throw his child out of the window. Unless the woman tells him, listen, take it easy, this is your son and what have you. You know what I'm saying? So men don't have the same characteristics that the woman has. The woman has things, subhanAllah. So even in the functionality of the household, each one has been given a role, so everything will be in harmony. All this by coincidence, it is impossible. It is impossible, as the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned. So he said, even this coming into existence is impossible, let alone إِذَا الْمَوْجُودِ صُدْفَةً لَيْسَ عَلَى نِظَامٍ فِي أَصْلِ وُجُودِهِ فَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ مُنْتَظِمًا حَالَ بَقَائِهِ وَتَطَوُّرِهِ. If this cannot happen the first time, then what about the maintenance and the evolution, the continuous of evolution and the maintenance of this harmony? How is it possible without a creator? It is impossible. وَإِذَا لَمْ يُمْكِنْ أَن تُوْجَدَ هَذِهِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ نَفْسُهَا بِنَفْسِهَا وَلَا أَن تُوْجَدَ صُدْفَةً تَعَيَّنَ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ مُوْجِدٌ وَهُوَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The Shaykh said, if the creation is unable to create itself, furthermore, it cannot come by coincidence, it becomes obligatory that the creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of everything, رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So here we are using intellect to prove that.
وقد ذكر الله تعالى هذا الدليل العقلي والبرهان القطعي في سورة الطور. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this particular reality which the scholars say and the du'at, this is the ultimate verse to debate if you want to debate or to have a discussion with an atheist. You use this particular verse from Surah At-Tur as your foundation. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah says, أم خلقوا من غير شيء أم هم الخالقون. Were they created of nothing? A question, interrogative. Were they created of nothing or did they create themselves? One of two options. Either they were created of nothing, no one created them. Is that possible? No. How could you come into existence without a creator? Impossible. Were they the creator? Did they create themselves? No. So then what do we wind up with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the creator. يعني أنهم لم يخلقوا من غير خالق. They were not created without a creator. ولهم الذين خلقوا أنفسهم. They did not create themselves. فتعين أن يكون خالقهم هو الله تبارك وتعالى. So it becomes inevitable that the creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولهذا لما سمع جبير بن مطعم رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ سورة الطور فبلغ هذه الآيات. He said, this is why when Jubair ibn Mut'im, one of the companions, who was a mushrik at the time, he said, when he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting chapter At-Tur, and he made it to these verses, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ أَمْ هُمُ الْمُسَيْطِرُونَ. Verses 35 to 37. وكان جبير يومئذ مشركا قال كاد قلبي أن يطير وذلك أول ما وقر الإيمان في قلبي رواه البخاري مفرقا. طيب, when he heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم recite the particular verses, so were they created of nothing or did they create themselves or did they create the heavens and the earth? Nay, but they have no firm belief, or do they possess the sovereignty and the richness of your Lord, or are they the ones with authority to do whatever they want? Jubayr said, when I heard these verses, my heart almost flew away. He was a mushrik at the time. He said, my heart almost flew, and this was the first time Iman was established in my heart. So when he heard these verses, Iman entered his heart. Because it's a strong argument that you cannot deny. Any human being, you tell him, did either you created yourself? He will say, I didn't. He cannot. Tell him, create another one. If you created yourself, make me another version of you. Right now. Huh? He's going to be puzzled. Say, were you created by nothing? Did you come by nothing? He cannot say that either. So then you have a third option. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created you. You want to deny it? You deal with it on the day of judgment. You don't want to accept? Ma fi mushkila. وَقُلْ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And say, this is the truth from your Lord. So whosoever wishes to believe, he may do so. And whosoever wishes to disbelieve, likewise. But Allah says that in the hereafter, that they will be in the hellfire. They have the free will, but they have the accountability for the free will. So, this was related by Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. The Shaykh said, وَلْنَضْرِبْ مَثَلًا يُوَضِّحُ ذَلِكَ. Let us write an example to clarify this point. فَإِنَّهُ لَوْ حَدَّثَكَ شَخْصٌ عَنْ قَصْرٍ مُشَيَّدٍ أَحَاطَتْ بِهِ الْحَدَائِقُ. If a person came to you and spoke to you about some lofty palace, a lofty palace, a very beautiful palace with gardens all around, gardens and trees and vegetation all around, وَجَرَتْ بَيْنَهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, and there are rivers flowing therein, وَمَلِيءٌ بِالْفُرْشِ وَالْأَسِرَّةِ, it is full of canopies and couches and beds, وَزُيِّنَ بِأَنْوَاعِ الزِّينَةِ مِنْ مُقَوِّمَاتِهِ وَمُكَمِّلَاتِهِ, and it is full of every kind of adornment and ornament, whether the necessity, the necessary ones or the luxurious ones. وَقَالَ لَكَ, and he told you, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقَصْرَ وَمَا فِيهِ مِنْ كَمَالٍ قَدْ أَوْجَدَ نَفْسَهُ. He told you, this castle, with everything you see, it made itself by itself. أو وجد هكذا صدفة, or it came by coincidence.
I don't know how. All of a sudden, one day we walk in, there's nothing. The next day, there's this castle. It came by coincidence. Maybe some construction workers made a mistake, and all of a sudden, this was the result. Coincidence. The Sheikh said, لبادرت إلى إنكار ذلك وتذيبه وعددت حديثه سفها من القول أو سفها من القول. He said, you will hasten to deny and belie that, and you will consider this person to be his statement to be nothing but fabrication. You will not accept that if someone told you that. يعني if someone gave you an example, said, you see this car outside, this car, this Toyota Camry, it made itself by itself. Or one day I went outside my house and I had left some tools on the floor and all of a sudden there's a Camry. You would say, okay, are you serious, man? Are you serious? Or because I think we need to change my phone number so you can no longer call me. If you really believe that, alhamdulillah, nobody here will ever say this such a statement. But this is the Sheikh trying to show you how far-fetched it is. But brothers and sisters, today people believe that. Human beings today believe that, alhamdulillah, for Islam. Alhamdulillah for Iman. Alhamdulillah for understanding. Even the fact that Allah is allowing your brain to think this is weird is a ni'mah from Allah. Because if Allah wills, you will not think this is strange. You say, this makes sense. So everything is from Allah. لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَ جَلَّ جَلَالَهُ طيب. So the Shaykh said, أَفَيَجُوزُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ هَذَا الْكَوْنِ الْوَاسِعِ بِأَرْضِهِ وَسَمَائِهِ وَأَفْلَاكِهِ وَأَحْوَالِهِ ونظامه البديع الباهر قد أوجد نفسه أو وجد صدفة بدون موجد. He said, is it possible then that this vast universe, along with the earth and the skies and the orbits and the conditions and everything in perfect harmony, is it possible that it created itself or came by coincidence without anyone putting it or bringing it into existence? It is impossible. So this is how we use the what? The aql. To understand that there must, that Allah exists, Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Thirdly, dalalat al-shari', al-shari', legislation or the law. وأما دلالة الشرع على وجود الله تعالى فلأن الكتب الكتب السماوية كلها تنطق بذلك. The Shaykh said, all of the scriptures that have been revealed by Allah speak about that. Now of course we know the scriptures, as far as we know from the Quran, are four. The scriptures are four. The Zabur of Dawood, the Psalms of David. وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ زَبُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we gave David the Psalms. The second one is Torah. Tawrat Musa alayhi salatu salam. At-Tawrat which was given to Musa. The third one is Al-Injil, given to Isa, the Gospel of Jesus, which we don't have, like the rest. And lastly, and the one that is dominant, the one that is the absolute one, the only reliable reference for the creation until the Day of Judgment, is the Book of Allah, the Qur'an, which has been preserved and protected. It can never be changed. It can never be changed. No matter what the disbelievers do, the Qur'an will remain. Even if they burn the books, it is in the heart of the children. The 9-year-old children, 10-year-old children, from not even Arabs. Get him from any country, from the Philippines, from China. He doesn't even speak Arabic, but he will recite the whole Qur'an, mashallah, from cover to cover. And if you tell him to memorize four vocabulary words in English, he doesn't remember them. And he speaks English. But Allah says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. And we have made the Qur'an easy for remembrance. Is there anyone willing to be among those who remember? So you find that a young boy will memorize the whole Qur'an, Subhanallah al-Azim, in a language that is foreign to him, the most eloquent of speech, the speech of Allah. This is a miracle in and within itself. And we will deal with more details of this, inshallah, in the aspect of the book that deals with our belief in the books. In our belief in the books. Anyways, so there are four. All of them speak about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, sustainer, and the only one who deserves to be worshipped. Now, the only reliable book is the Qur'an. The rest, we may have some traces of them in the Bible. Depending on the version, there may be some traces of them. But that's it. to say that this book is from God is not possible because of the many contradictions in them. And Allah said, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Allah gave us a criteria in which we identify the authentic book from the unauthentic books. Allah says, had it been from other than Allah, they will find many contradictions therein. And indeed, you will find in the Bible thousands of contradictions, an indication that it is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. So, كلها تنطق بذلك وما جاءت به من الأحكام المتضمنة لمصالح الخلق دليل على أنها من رب حكيم عليم بمصالح خلقه. من رب حكيم عليم بمصالح خلقه. And whatever these books contain from teachings, the teachings which are would bring the welfare of the creation are an indication that it is from a Lord who is wise, who is all wise, all knowing, and He knows what is good for His creation. وما جاءت به من الأخبار الكونية التي شهد الواقع بصدقها. Furthermore, what the books have contained from universal science, that today the fact approves. For instance, everybody knows here the science of embryology and how the human was formed from the nutfa and alaqa and the various stages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. This, my brothers, was only discovered in science in recent times. After they discovered the microscope, they were able to actually look and study the sperm and with the fertilization of the egg and how it wind up going through the stages, just as Allah described it in the Quran 1400 years ago. Now it's a scientific fact, but we had it many years ago. They just did not know. So many universal signs are in the Quran that they have just established today. And you will find that the Quran has never went against science. There has never been a scientific fact except that the Quran had established it. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ. وَمَا جَاءَتْ بِهِ مِنَ الْأَخْبَارِ الْكَوْنِيَّةِ الَّتِي شَهِدَ الْوَاقِعُ بِصِدْقِهَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهَا مِنْ رَبٍ قَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ إِيجَادِ مَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ. All of these are indications that it is from a Lord who is capable of bringing about what He promised in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything He said He will cause to happen, it will happen. Dealing with the affairs of the Day of Judgment, the fact that the sun and the moon will go away, and the sun will go into the ocean, and the ocean will turn into fire, and then the earth will be replaced with another earth, and all of the creation will be gathered on one surface. Everyone from the first creation until the last creation, we will all be, now us, and those who came before us, and those who will come after us, we will be on one surface. They say it is so flat, لا ترى فيها عوجا ولا أنت. There's no ups and downs, no hills, no crookedness. So much so that if a person will speak, the person who's near him will hear him the same way the one who was at the very far side. They will hear him equally. The voice will travel. This is on the Day of Judgment, and everyone will be naked. Now, alhamdulillah, you're dressed. When you're dressed, you feel secure. Imagine if you were to be undressed in front of people, what will happen to you? On the Day of Judgment, everyone will be naked. When the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told this to Aisha radiallahu anha, قالت يا رسول الله رجال ونساء, men and women, they will look at one another. قال يا عائشة الأمر أشد من ذلك. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, oh Aisha, the affair is much more dangerous than that. It's much more severe. يعني if the men will not be concerned about looking at women, and the women will not be concerned about looking at men, because of the greatness of this day. And the sun will be so near to the creation, and the day of judgment is equal to 50,000 years. 50,000 years, people will be waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. But there's always good news for the believers. سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. There will be seven under the shade of Allah. On the day where there is no shade, but the shade of Allah. Who are they? Imamun Adilun. A just ruler. And it's basically with us, justice. Adil. Second, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِّ. A young man who was brought up on the obedience of Allah. He did not go left, did not go right. He was always on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. A man whose heart
is attached to the masjid. It doesn't mean that he leaves his heart hanging on the wall and he goes home, then when he comes back, says, well, here's my heart. It's attached to the masjid. No. That's not what is intended. Meaning his mind is always about the salah. Always worried about the salah. The jama'ah. He has nothing in this life except coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man whose heart is attached to the masjid. Allahu Akbar. So easy. We live down the street. You go to other countries where a person has to travel 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes to go to the masjid. And people go through that. Now the masjid is down the street, and sometimes, wallah al-azim, the imam will call the adhan. 15 minutes after the adhan, there are three brothers in the masjid. Three brothers in the masjid. Two in the back, and then all of a sudden, before 5 minutes before the iqama, a whole army of brothers walk in. From everywhere. You almost don't believe it. Although, we're right there. It doesn't make it, you come into the salah, you come into the salah. You come in anyways, ya akhi. What is the 10 minutes going to do? What are you going to, you going to build a house in the 10 minutes at home? You're going to discover a new nuclear weapon? What are you going to do? Nothing. The shaitan is playing games. I'm keeping you busy trying to fix the faucet, trying to mop the floor. Now you suddenly you get the energy to mop the floor. Let me do some cleaning at the house. I want to help my wife today. Yes, Sheikh, do it after the salah. These are all from the shaitan. So we really must understand these things in the right context. Because it is easy. If you want to be under the shade of Allah on the Day of Judgment, ya akhi, come to the masjid. Keep your heart attached to the masjid. Anyways, I'm not going to dwell into that. This is the third one. The fourth one, رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ Two brothers who love each other for the sake of Allah. They meet upon that, and they need each other upon that. Meaning you don't love him because he gives you money, he lends you his car, huh? He helps you. Just because he's a believer and you're a believer, you find that you get along. There's love between you and him strictly because of iman. You'll be under the shade of Allah bi-idhnillah on the Day of Judgment. Very easy. But nowadays, some brothers hate each other for the sake of Allah. Although there's no reason for that. Fifthly, رَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ امْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ حُسْنٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ A man who was called by a woman of beauty and status to do haram with her. He told her, verily, I fear Allah. Like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not go for that. Sixthly, رجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه A man who gave صدقة in such a secretive way where his left hand does not know what his right hand was spending. Huh? And we gave the example of the one who likes to give صدقة for everyone to praise him, to say mashallah. This person looks for the صدقة in secret. Very easy. The next time you have 2 riyal, 1 riyal, and you see some miskin outside, make sure that no one sees you. Avoid being seen by anyone and give him the sadaqah for the sake of Allah. You are qualified bi-idhnillah under this hadith. See how easy it is? Alhamdulillah. And lastly, رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ قَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ A man who remembered Allah in seclusion, it doesn't mean that he's alone, meaning he was thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if people are around, so his eyes shed tears. Either from the love of Allah, or from the fear of Allah, or from anything pertaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These seven will be under the shade of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Actually, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said that the 50,000 years for these brothers will be equal to the time between Salatul Dhuhr and Salatul Asr. How long is that? 3 hours? 3 hours. 3 hours under the shade, relaxing, waiting to be permitted to Jannah, while the rest of the creation, even among the Muslims, are under the sun, that is very close to them while they are drowning in their sweat, waiting for 50,000 years only for Allah to judge, they did not go to Jahannam yet. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ May Allah protect us. So the situation is serious. And now we're speaking about this, maybe your mind is making a movie. You know, because we have watched so many movies in our lives, whenever you hear these statements, you start making your own movie. You have your own clips. Ikhwan, this is more real than a movie. This is real. What we are speaking right now, you must have yaqeen, certainty that this will happen. So are we ready for this day? Do you think you, speaking of yourself, I speaking of myself, have we prepared for this day? Are we among these seven? Do we have any guarantee that we will not be under the sun for 50,000 years? La wallah. La wallah, we cannot. Because the companions did not feel this way. So we cannot feel this way. You may be with Allah. Allah knows. But don't think that of yourself. If you do, know that you are not on the path. If you think that you have been saved, meaning you are destroyed. And the only way you will be saved is when you think that you are destroyed. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu used to cry so much that he had his eyes, his face. It appeared that tears were always falling from his face. Ibn Abbas, the skin under his eyes was so wet and damp. It was damaged from excessive tears. You're talking about people who the Prophet ﷺ told them, you're going to Jannah. He told Umar that I was taken to Jannah, I seen a castle. There was a castle and there was a beautiful woman next to the castle. I asked, who's this castle for? They said, the angels. This is for Umar ibn al-Khattab. The Prophet ﷺ said, then I remembered how jealous, the jealousy of Umar, so I turned away. I didn't look at the woman. So when he narrated this to Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, Ameen, from you, O Messenger of Allah, from you I'm gonna miss you, and not trust you, thinking you're gonna look at my woman. He told him in his presence that you're going to Jannah, I seen your castle in Jannah. And he lived his life fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't say, oh, I'm Shaykh al-Islam, khalas, I'm guaranteed. Why? Because when Allah praised them, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ. Those who are always fearful of the punishment of their Lord, because the punishment of their Lord is nothing you can be secure about. So we must understand these in the right context. So we may think we're doing some good deeds, wallahi we are far away. And maybe the sins that we commit are erasing the good deeds that we are doing. So we need to leave them alone. Some major preparation needs to be made for the Day of Judgment. It could be tomorrow. When you die, it's the end for you. As soon as we die, there's no coming back. Meaning you are already approaching that day. It's only a few days in the grave. Because Allah said that on the Day of Judgment, people will say that we only were in the life for like a day. The scholars say that includes the barzakh. The whole thing would be only equal to a day. And you will say, how did I waste my life? In one day of my life, my whole life was equal to one day, and I did not manage to go straight to Jannah without any punishment. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us among those who are regretful. We stopped at the shara, the legal, we dealt with that, alhamdulillah, we completed that. The fourth aspect is the fact, the physical sense, things that we experience in our life, which prove to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. And we will deal with that bi-ithnillah azza wa jal next week, inshallah, if all of us remain alive. And we will see how we can compile all four matters that we prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through. And whatever I said that was correct was success by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a reminder for me first and for you, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And whatever I said that was wrong is for myself and the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is innocent from it. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly for his blessings. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khair.